It's time for Motherlode Views, a look at the issues important to the quality of life in the Motherlode. Motherlode Views is brought to you by Nate's Tree Service. No job is too big or too small. Call 532-2460.
Well, good morning and welcome to Motherlode Views. I'm BJ Hansen, your host. On this weekend's show, we're pleased to be joined on the telephone by the new assembly member for California District 8. David Tongipah is joining us today. Assemblyman Tongipah, thanks for coming on Motherlode Views.
Well, BJ, it's an honor to join you again, and I look forward to coming on as much as I can to let you guys know about what's going on here in Sacramento.
Sounds great. You know, for anyone who doesn't know about you and your background, what can you tell us about what you did prior to becoming an assemblyman?
Yeah, well, no, I appreciate it. So prior to this, actually, I was a small business owner. I actually still do a lot of work in real estate and real estate investing. My main and primary focus was helping first-time home buyers and veterans break generational poverty through home ownership. But I also worked in policy for the Fresno County Board of Supervisors. I was a field representative there. I really started on March 3rd, 2020, and then March 12th, 2020 really happened a week later, where all the policies, whether it was public health or different things that really came out, especially with whatever was going on with the pandemic. I worked on the Creek Fire, which was one of California's largest fires in the state history that really burned in Fresno and Madera County. I've done a lot of work, actually, throughout this general area, and I've also worked in campaigns and elections and data analytics as well. So my undergrad was political science, criminology, a legal studies certificate, and I also got my master's in business. So, and now we're the newly elected assemblymen for the 8th Assembly District.
So as we sit and talk here in mid-March, how has the experience been so far early on?
So this year has been very different than any of the other years, as I've talked to a lot of my colleagues. We really kicked this whole thing off because the governor wanted this $50 million litigation fund to set up after President Donald Trump had won the election. So we went into special session immediately on the first day swearing in on December 2nd, which is not normal, especially when one-third of the legislature has pretty much turned over this last election cycle. So a bunch of people who just got there, and within 20 minutes of being an assemblyman or a senator, immediately we gavel into a special session. And then after that, when we go into the normal session, we come back January 2nd. On that Friday, we had the largest economic disaster in California's history with the fires that happened in LA, and needed another special session that we also partnered into the next week. So it has been a whirlwind that is really kind of like drinking water again from a fire hose. So it's been pretty interesting while we've been up here. There's been some moves that have made that are just not normal. But, you know, this is all part of the times, especially if we look at the state of affairs that California is in today.
Yeah, so getting into some of those items, that first couple of days with the litigation fund that was put forward by the governor, what was your reaction to that?
You know, there's so many issues here in California that we really need to address. And I just look at it from a priority side of things. We look at, you know, the budget deficit and where the governor is now cutting all of these different sectors, whether it's foster care services, on our education end, our university budgets are being cut. And, you know, we look at insurance and home insurance, and especially in the higher Sierras, in the central portion of California, it's unaffordable. We look at the wildfire issues and the mismanagement of our forests that really puts at threat a lot of the community that we have in Assembly District 8, Assembly District 1, that really make up a landmass of more than one-third of the entire state of California. So when I look at us special sessioning in for a $50 million litigation fund to go after the guy in Washington, Californians aren't thinking about that right now. Californians are thinking about, how can I afford the utility cost at the end of the month? How can I afford my home insurance bill this year? And then even next year, if they try to double it again, how can I even buy a house with interest rates and with everything and all the costs going up in such an exorbitant end? When does it stop? And we here in California can take action on that, those issues. But instead, we want to focus on a lawsuit for somebody else, especially when we don't have any money in this state. So I just don't think it should be the priority. I don't remember in this last election cycle, they said, yeah, we want to go and sue the president of the United States. I think this election cycle actually proved that we want safer streets. We want criminals to go to prison, especially when we pass Prop 36 in every single county in the entire state of California. And we wanted to focus on bringing the cost of living down. This does not do that. And so it's just interesting. It's interesting to me to see what the priorities are in the state leadership in this state.
So getting into fire a little bit, you mentioned you've seen quite a few fires in your district. The fires in Los Angeles really put everything on a national scene and eyes. You know, looking at the SoCal fires, what do you feel were some of the lessons learned and things that should happen now in response?
This is what happens when dereliction and negligence lead in a general area, whether it's the state or even at the city and the local level. When I look at the L.A. fires, it's unfortunate to me that it had to happen to L.A. and that general area for the individuals in Southern California to really care about it, because this is something that happens to our community every year, every other year. And the largest six fires in California's history have happened since 2019. And the Palisades and the Eaton Fire don't even register in size in the top 25. When it comes to damage, they're number one because it really hurt a highly urban area. But we've been screaming and yelling about fires every single year to do something, to manage the forest properly, to get in there, logging it, grazing it, or you're going to watch it burn. The history of fire is that it is part of the natural cycle, and all we did was eliminate it for over 40 to 50 years, that now we're seeing these fires that are unnatural, because fires that would have been there every so often would have taken care of this. And when I look at especially the L.A. fires, there's an exact same burn scar from the 1970s called the Siege of L.A. that burned during the Santa Ana winds, that these water basins and these flood basins were actually built to make sure that the emergency services and personnel had enough when urban sprawl would grow into that area to prevent a fire from ever getting into the city with Santa Ana winds. They left those basins dry. And that's why the emergency personnel ran out of water. The Santa Ynez Basin was built because of the 1970s fire and the fires that happened in the 1960s. And now this is what you get when you have dereliction, negligence, and they were not prepared. I fear for the exact same thing in our mountain communities. I think for anybody else who wants to look back into history and we look at 1983 and 1984, we had some huge wet periods, and California is on this 40-year wet cycle. And in those wet periods, we had a lot of vegetation growth. That grass, whenever you have super blooms, you're going to have super dead vegetation, and fire is typically the normal process to clear that. Well, in 1987, there were 1,000 lightning strikes across the Sierras. They put so many fires out into the Sierras that the entire place burned, and firefighters could not keep up with it. I believe that is going to happen again with 2023 and 2024 with the vegetation growth. The X factor that we did not have in the 1980s is now we have 200 million dead trees and ladder fuel. So I'm just hopeful that people can really look at this, really look and pay attention that we need to do something in an expedited fashion. And that's been a primary focus of my office.
At this point, has there been much movement when it comes to future resilience, or is it primarily just clean up the wreckage and get past the L.A. fires?
Right now, it is getting past the L.A. fires is a huge and primary focus of theirs. But I will say this, and I will give the governor his credit. He has pushed and enforced an executive order claiming that all CEQA studies on anything that has to deal with wildfire and wildfire prevention are now exempt from CEQA. So he did that about two Fridays ago. And on top of that, the president of the United States has also pushed for expedited fashion in U.S. Forest Service land, because 97% of the public forest in California are actually managed by U.S. Forests, the U.S. Forest Service. And so those two working together, for me, all I care about is saving lives. I don't care what party they're registered with or who's focusing on it. I think our High Sierras need that type of approach. I think they need to know that we're going to try to move as fast as we can. One of the first bills that I presented was an easement clearance exemption from CEQA to make sure that when the fires do come, because I wholeheartedly believe that it might be a little bit too late unless we move a little bit faster, but that they can get out, because that's what we saw in the Creek Fire. And the Creek Fire happened on Labor Day weekend, so September 4th, 2020. The only thing that saved so many people that were in our Shaver Lake, Huntington Lake, all the way up in Edison, getting as close as you can to Mono County that touches Fresno County, was we had easement clearance that was done in 2019. We evacuated 30,000 plus individuals. And with that, not a single person lost their life. We even had to evacuate our sheriff at that same time in Fresno County. And we did that because we were prepared, because we knew the data. And so I look at the exact same thing when it comes to our High Sierras. We need to be prepared. We need to make sure that there is vegetation clearance. We are one hot break away. We are one broken down vehicle. We are one cigarette butt outside of a window that will light the entire Sierras on fire, especially with this vegetation growth that we've seen from these last wet years that we do need to move in an expedited fashion. I give the governor his credit that he is due for exempting wildfire management projects from CEQA, and I also give the president his credit for what he is doing with the U.S. Forest Service side.
Need to take a quick break. We're talking with Assemblyman David Tongipah, who represents District 8 in the California Assembly. I'm BJ Hansen, your host. Motherlode Views is brought to you by Nate's Tree Service, where no job is too big or too small. Our second segment coming up in just a minute.
Nate's Tree Service does more than trim trees. Nate's will remove tree hazards, clean storm damage, provide CDF fire clearance, eliminate beetle infestation, chip brush, and so much more. Nate's Tree Service is licensed, bonded, and insured. They even carry workers' comp for their employees for your protection. No job is too big or too small in the Tri-County area for family-owned and operated Nate's Tree Service. Call 532-2460. That's 532-2460.
Talking with District 8 Republican Assemblyman David Tongipah on this weekend's Motherlode Views. I'm BJ Hansen, your host. Assemblyman Tongipah, during the last segment, we ended talking about wildfires and wildfire risk across California and the Sierra Nevada. It kind of transitions into the next topic I was going to ask you about is fire insurance. You know, what are you kind of looking at right now and hoping happens when it comes to the fire insurance crisis?
Yeah, well, BJ, I appreciate that. And I always want to let you and your listeners know I am more than happy with being called David. I like to be one of you, and I hope that you all see me this way. So I'm more than fine with you referring to me as just David. Outside of that, when I do look at the home insurance issues, what I will say is this, because I do believe it is time to have the hard conversation. When I was running in my campaign, I would tell everybody we were one fire away from collapsing the insurance industry here in California, and it really needed to burn in an urban area for that to happen that was highly covered by the California Fair Plan. Unfortunately, that has happened. The LA fires have really put the insurance situation in an almost no-win situation. We are in between a rock and a hard place, just for the Palisades alone, so that way I can kind of put out the numbers. I used to be the vice chair of the insurance committee. I was removed from that because we were speaking out a little bit about it as fast and as hard, because I do think that it is extremely dire and people need to really focus on it. The Palisades had about, I believe it was about $1.8 billion on hand to make sure, or the Fair Plan had about $1.8 billion on hand to make sure that they can cover the general region. And then anything over $900 million loss and damages, their reinsurance will kick in to cover the rest. So with that, it has bankrupted the California Fair Plan on just the Palisades fire alone. And then when you look at the whole scope of LA, the Fair Plan now is $680 million underwater. We've heard about this reassessment that's coming along for $1 billion that is going to be put on the back of every single homeowner in the state of California, every single business owner in the state of California. Everybody is going to have to pay this $1 billion reassessment that the insurance commissioner, Ricardo Lara, has pushed. That will leave the California Fair Plan, the entire to cover the entire state, with $350 million left, roughly, right around. So that's what it will have left to cover in total assets, $450 billion. Of assets that are held in the California Fair Plan, and increasing because more and more people are being pushed to the California Fair Plan. So in a number standpoint, we have less than 1% cash on hand to cover $450 billion of total assets. I almost, and I will say this, I believe another reassessment is going to come. I think one more fire like the that happens in our area, which for us is a June, is a July, is an August, and is a September, that the FAIR Plan will go bankrupt again. And now we're starting at a position where there's only $350 million in the account, to where it will go even more into the deficit because they don't have as much money as they had when they started with LA. Reinsurance does not kick in until $900 million is lost. So even if there's a $500 million fire, that means the FAIR Plan is bankrupt and reinsurance doesn't even kick in. They would not be able to cover the amount of losses that they would need to pay out on that end. So it really does put us in an extremely dire situation. And the other issue with what happens with the FAIR Plan is that the FAIR Plan is not a government entity. The FAIR Plan is a conglomerate of all recognized insurers who participate in the state of California. And it's all based off of the market share that those recognized insurance companies have to pay when they work in the state of California. So that means if State Farm has about 33% of the market share, they are also taking in 33% of the damages and payouts that need. Liberty Mutual, if they have 20%, they pay 20% of the FAIR Plan losses. The term FAIR is not for the consumer. It is for the insurance company that they are fairly taking on the collateral damage. So that way this can be offered as an insurance of last resort if somebody doesn't come. So now State Farm has to pay out their normal share of their recognized coverage, and they have to pay their FAIR Plan. So this is what will put us in a bind, because FAIR Plan needed that 22% emergency just to cover amount of losses. They're then taking as a double end when they have to pay out on the FAIR Plan portion, that they will want to shrink their portion of their general insurance. So they will want to go from one-third of the coverage here in California to 20% to lower their amount of risk when it comes to paying out on the FAIR Plan and when it comes to paying out on the insurance end. California insurance is bankrupt, is currently bankrupt right now, and Californians will have to bail it out because of what we are currently going through right now.
Yeah, I was going to say, that sounds like a very dire situation, obviously. And if it did eventually go bankrupt, what do you think happens then? It would probably, the state of California is going to have to just chip in and figure out a way to pick up the pieces?
We're in somewhat of a little bit of a bind that Florida insurance went through the same thing a couple years ago, but they were not stuck into the confines of Prop 103. So Prop 103 was passed back in 1988. And it was a voter initiative. So it really put essentially rent control on top of insurance. And what that has done is artificially keep insurance rates low. The assets across California are artificially high, that we've created somewhat of a bubble, similar to the subprime mortgage bubble just here in the state of California. So it's not a nationwide issue. We will have to see prices, in my opinion. And what I am being told by insurance companies that I have met with is that they need FAIR Plan pricing on every single homeowner in the state of California, which for a lot of the listeners that are paying already $5,000, $7,000, $9,000 if you own a couple acres, $20,000 if you own over 10 acres, they would like to double the cost of the FAIR Plan or even triple it, and they would like every homeowner to pay a lot closer to around $10,000. $15,000, $20,000 in home insurance, because the assets are so expensive in the state of California, that home values and business values will have to drop on pricing to where we're going to create this almost unaffordability crisis just simply on the basis people won't be able to qualify for a mortgage to pay for it, because you need taxes, insurance, and your income all in place to be ready to qualify to purchase an asset at what it's at. So a correction will have to happen in the market. We will have to lower the values of our homes to make it to where if you can't afford a $15,000, $12,000, $10,000 home insurance quote. So that is a bind that we are in right now. We're still in, unfortunately, the free fall portion of what's going to come out of L.A. I know that there's been some stories going around right now about that 22% emergency increase that State Farm is asking for just to cover those losses. They still need to come out and justify why they need it. This is all on the insurance commissioner. But it really does put us in a bind because of Prop 103 from 1988 really locks us into it. The legislature can't move as fast as we want to move because of these confines that we're in. That when when Florida needed to take action, they were able to scrap it, revive it, work together on policies. That our number one focus here in California has to be risk mitigation. We need to make sure that areas like Sonora, Groveland, Calaveras County, Mariposa County, we create buffer zones between the urban and the wildland areas. And we've just got to make sure that we're protecting the assets there, risk management. The insurance companies want to be here. They want to participate in a state like California. I just don't know what we can do right now when it comes to changing the policies needed for the insurance market.
Very interesting issue to keep an eye on. We need to take one more break. We're talking with Assemblyman David Tongipah on this weekend's Motherlode Views. Motherlode Views is brought to you by Nate's Tree Service, where no job is too big or too small. Our final segment is coming up in just a minute.
Nate's Tree Service does more than trim trees. Nate's will remove tree hazards, clean storm damage, provide CDF fire clearance, eliminate beetle infestation, chip brush, and so much more. Nate's Tree Service is licensed, bonded, and insured. They even carry workers' comp for their employees for your protection. No job is too big or too small in the Tri-County area for family-owned and operated Nate's Tree Service. Call 532-2460. That's 532-2460.
Welcome back to Motherlode Views. I'm BJ Hansen, your host, talking with Assemblyman David Tongipah on this weekend show. We've talked a lot about fire and fire insurance on these first couple of segments. Assemblyman Tongipah, you know, what are some of the bills and pieces of legislation that you are specifically authoring this session?
Yeah, well, this last election gave a mandate to us here in California and to the United States that we want to focus on affordability, we want to focus on safety, and we want to focus on trying to inspire and take that next step for the next generation so that they could move forward as well. So one bill that I'm really, really honored to introduce is actually a bill that has to deal with safety in our hospitals and safety in our medical services. So we found out that there was an individual that is now returning to work as a registered nurse for pediatrics after getting their pornography and child pornography charges expunged from their record. So we introduced a bill that would make it to where licensing boards have to be informed on the criminal side that if somebody was dealing that they know and will never work with children again. That's a bill that we're working on with the registered nurses on. Another one that I wanted to take on, especially when it comes to affordability, was the utility side. I know that people are really hurting when it comes to paying their electricity bills. For some people that have fixed income, they're paying more in electricity than they ever did in mortgage. So right now we introduced a bill that would actually take in all hydroelectrical facilities in the state of California will be added to the green and renewables portfolio in the state. Because right now, for some reason, and it makes absolutely no sense to me, they do not include any large-scale dam that produces energy over 40 megawatts onto green and renewable standards. And that's why we have this artificial rolling blackouts that we've all heard about. We are limiting ourselves and making sure that we can't use our own energy here. And the only argument that I've heard from here in this capital is that they needed to force artificial scarcity to push people to build solar and wind. I looked at them and I said, absolutely not. Force artificial scarcity just drives the prices on the consumers, and it's the consumers that are paying for these subsidy programs on wind and solar when right now we can meet all of our standards without adding a single carbon emission and without building anything new. We could just end rolling blackouts in the state of California and lower their utility bills by just including all hydroelectrical facilities on our green and renewables portfolio. That is one that I am working on right now with the utility companies. And the rest of them that I really focused on are more forest management, vegetation management, emergency plans. I'm also working on a rural health bill to make sure that doctors who participate and work in the rural community actually exempt some of their Medi-Cal income that they make and money that they make on that service is exempt from taxes to incentivize them more to work in our areas, because we know right now that Calaveras County has one pediatrician, one. That is not good enough for our area. We know that Madera County right now doesn't have a single hospital in the entire county of Madera. So we are working to try to incentivize and bring people back into the community that want to get back to helping sick and older individuals. So we're working on a tax credit for that. I wish it was at $500,000 to really incentivize doctors to be there. My team calmed me down on that one. It's going to be a $5,000 tax credit that we do. We want to look at the data the year after that, increase that twofold to $10,000 the next year, increase that tenfold to $100,000 so we can get more doctors into our rural communities and really help those who need it most. And so that's primarily what we're focused on, health, making sure that we can take care and foster the next generation, protecting our children and our most vulnerable, and also wildfire and insurance management.
Also wanted to ask you, too, you mentioned you were removed from leadership of the insurance committee, and it wasn't just you that was removed from some leadership posts. So what was the situation with that? I hadn't heard much from the Democratic side as to why that all took place.
You know, the Speaker of the Assembly just put out a statement that said that we typically do this essentially whenever we want. But, you know, what we've heard is that those that are most outspoken and energetic were removed from their committees. And it's a political move. You know, this is something that the way I've kind of positioned it is that, you know, this house of cards that is floating in the middle of the river is really starting to fall apart. People are seeing it, and as they're all falling, you know, we're just caught with them flailing, and we were really just politically hit. You know, there was an issue that we had talked about with that is really testy in the Capitol, and that's the insurance and Medi-Cal for illegal immigrants in the state of California. And one of my biggest issues is that the allocated portion, even if I don't agree with it, is $500 million. The spent portion right now that we have seen is $9.5 billion. That means we are 1,000% over budget in that general area. That is, and then they're asking me to justify a 7% or $20 million cut to a lot of our universities. They're asking me to justify cuts to the foster care program. They're asking me to justify why Californians can't have the support that they need to make sure. And we're running this state into a deficit that right now the governor is now asking for an additional $3.5 billion to make up on the Medi-Cal losses, because we don't even have a metric in this state to guarantee that they live in California, that somebody in Nevada can come to California, get their medical services, and go straight back to Nevada or Arizona or Oregon or Idaho. We have just incentivized anybody of any immigration status or medical status to come to the state of California, get free health care, and it is paid for by Californians, and we don't even know if they live here. And it is going to bankrupt this state that we can't take action in so many areas. We actually have to cut services for kids, cut services for our community. I think we need to take care of our house first. And because we are speaking out on that, we have been silenced. But it's not a silence of me. It is a silence of the residents of Assembly District 8. And that's why you really can't keep me quiet. And so we're going to keep on pushing.
Well, David, we've just got a minute left on this weekend's Motherload Views. Any other closing things you want to mention or things that you're working on?
You know, I want more and more people to just participate and engage. I know we got in front of another bill that had to deal with home self-defense. By blowing the whistle on that early, that author has pulled it. That was AB 1333. And so what I need more and more is for all of us to get engaged. This is our state. We don't need any more California refugees. We need some California rebels just pushing back. We can get this state back in order. We can make sure that we have the services. If we're the fifth largest economy in the world, it's time to start acting like it. Our people should live comfortably here and not live through this artificial scarcity. We're going to work to make California one heck of an amazing place again.
Well, David Tongipah, thanks for coming on, and keep us posted on how things are going in Sacramento.
All right. Well, you call me anytime you need me.
Again, we thank Assemblyman David Tongipah. He was our guest on this weekend's Motherload Views. I'm PJ Hansen, your host. We'll see you back next week for more Motherload Views.
You've been listening to Motherload Views, a look at the issues important to the quality of life in the Motherload. Motherload Views has been brought to you by Nate's Tree Service, where no job is too big or too small. Call 532-2460.